I've been a guest on some shows and they've literally just read all of those questions. And to me, that's not really putting in the effort. If you do that, think about what would happen if everybody else did that. So I'm a guest on multiple shows and everybody's asking me the same five questions. That's boring.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of Podcast on Podcasting. I'm your host, Adam A. Adams, and we're going to be diving in with Eric Dickman, who's got a story and a journey that he has to share with you and some lessons learned. And these are big lessons, and we dive in and get into them so that you can be a better podcaster. So with that said, Eric is the host of the Virtual CMO. So he's a podcaster. He also has a YouTube channel called Work Life, and he's there trying to add value to people to be able to be better with their work-life balance and learning and growing and going to the next level. And it's something he's passionate about. And he is a virtual CMO himself. So basically what he does is advertises for other companies. He's had 30 plus years of experience in advertising, worked 18 years at Oracle, and I'm excited to have you, Eric. So your company is called Five Echelon, is that right?
That's right, Adam. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm really glad to be here. Yeah, it's the Five Echelon Group is the name of my company.
Well, we're going to dive in, and you mentioned, as we did the pre-interview, that through your experiences, just since, I guess it was around COVID, when COVID was hitting is when you started the podcast, you've learned a lot through hosting a show. So what are like a few big takeaways for you?
Yeah, so a couple takeaways. Podcasting is a great medium, and the more that I've done it, the more that I've fallen in love with it. But it took some work to sort of push it out there to the world. I think there's always this fear of, am I good enough? Do I sound right? Is the quality of the content the kind of thing that's going to attract an audience? And so for a long time, I was playing around with those early episodes. Should I script them? Should I do them solo? Should I have guests? And it really was the encouragement of, I think, somebody else that you know, Alex Sanfilippo, who just said, you got to push it out there. You just got to let it go. And yeah, some of those early episodes are going to be terrible. You're going to go back and listen to them and cringe. But you've got to start on that journey. And each and every time that you publish an episode, you get better and better at what you do. And so that was one of my early challenges, was just pushing that button and releasing it. And then, of course, pushing it out to my friends and associates on LinkedIn, knowing that the world is then going to be judging you a little bit. And guess what? They're actually pretty kind judges.
Love it. So how do you know Alex?
So actually, I started listening to Alex's podcast, Creating a Brand. He also lives down here in Florida. And we just connected up. I was a member of his community and we started talking about podcasting. And he was an early guest on my show as well. So we've just sort of built a relationship there.
I like that. He's such a good guy. His company is Podmatch, right?
Podmatch, yeah, which is doing great. It's a great service.
He's a good guy. Yeah, no, I agree. He came on the show as well today as we're recording. It hasn't aired yet, but I'm sure it'll be aired before this one is. Anyway, I want to talk about when you're bringing on guests, how to make sure you're not making any mistakes. And I think that there's been a couple of times where you've kind of been nervous, or tell us a little bit about that.
When you start a podcast, I think one of the biggest challenges, who am I going to get on as guests? And there, you just mentioned Podmatch, which is a great service. There's Matchmaker FM. There are a number of things that are coming online now, which are really great resources for finding guests. But in the early days, I started going to some of these Facebook groups, which help you match hosts to guests. And you put an article out there that says, hey, I've got a podcast. I'm looking for guests. If you meet this criteria, I'd love to hear from you. And of course, you do. There are a lot of people who are just getting in there. They would either like publicity, or maybe they're a host themselves. They're looking for a swap, an appearance on both shows. And so I gravitated toward that, and I signed up a few of these early guests. And I've never had a terrible experience with a guest. They've all provided some insight in some ways. But I saw very clearly that if you want to have a show that really is of high quality, that really meets the needs of a particular audience, you've got to be selective with your guests. You need to know that they are going to provide value to the people who are going to be listening on your show. It can't just be people coming on your show to plug a book or to plug their website or agency or whatever it may be. That's all fine, an important part of podcasting, but they have to be able to derive or deliver some value to your audience as well. And there were a few of those early guests that I don't really think they delivered all that much value. They were really just plugging what they do. And I look back at those and say, yeah, it was fine. It was early on. Okay. But I wouldn't have those kind of guests on my show going forward.
All right. That's big. So I want to maybe dive into it a little bit. Like you said, it's fine if they want to come on and plug a book, mm-hmm. so long as there's value, right? So long as there's value behind it. So how do you ensure, because there's a lot of people soliciting to get on my show, to get on your show, to get on other podcaster shows. Like, how do we, is there a way to vet better? Is there a way to ask better questions? Is there a way to be better at asking questions on the podcast itself to steer it the right direction that we need to know?
Yeah. So I think especially with, let's take an author, for example, it's not out of the realm of reasonableness to say, hey, if you're an author, you want to come in, you want to talk about a book that you just released, which many of them do, could you send me a PDF of the book or send me a copy of the book so I can read it or at least skim it so I've got a better idea of what's in the book? And then we can have a conversation that falls in line with some of the points that you're trying to make in the book. And if you get that and it's not in sync with what would be a valuable message for your audience, then you know maybe they're not the right guest for you. I love to do research on my guests. So I will go, and it's easy to go to Listen Notes or to just Apple Podcasts and search for their name and listen to some other interviews that they've done. You don't have to listen to the whole thing, but you get a sense for how they're going to answer questions and how they're going to interact. I've had a few guests where they clearly have an agenda. So they keep drawing the conversation back to sort of a pre-scripted agenda of how they want to articulate the points maybe of their book or whatnot. And that's a little bit okay, but I prefer more of a free-flowing interview format. So if I listen to a guest and their appearance on other podcasts, and I see that basically they're doing the same thing on every podcast, well, maybe that's not the ideal guest for you. There are real skills as an interviewer to be able to get people outside their comfort lane, outside their talking points. And if that's the kind of show you want to have, if you really want to uncover something new, you've got to be prepared when there's a guest that really likes to stick to their talking points.
I'm with you 100%. There's three, I'll be honest. There's at least one, because I've done for this podcast, as I'm gearing up for the release of the show. Still hasn't released as we're recording, but we're doing a huge release. And in that amount of time, I've been on like Podmatch and Podbooker and things like that, where I'm connecting with people and asking for reciprocal interviews. So I'll go on their show and they'll come on mine. And I try really hard when I'm on somebody's show. It's something and I can tell you're doing the same thing, Eric. I try when I go on other people's shows to give like actual tangible takeaways that people can use to get to the next level. And I constantly hear, wow, that was more value than ever before. Wow, I can't believe how detailed you got. Thank you so much for your time, right? And I really feel like that adding as much value as possible is the way to go. But I've had probably three people come to this podcast, and you're the farthest thing from it, so thank you, that definitely have some type of script that they've rehearsed dozens or hundreds of times. And it's like, they won't even answer a question. They'll say, well, Adam, that's a great question. And then they'll like go into part two, their own part two. So you mentioned a couple things that you can do to solve that. One of them being that you can go and listen to other episodes where that guest has been on. So you'll listen to several episodes. If they have a book, you'll try to get that PDF and read it ahead of time. And then you started to mention that there's other things that we can do as interviewers to also steer that conversation on at the moment that it's happening. Do you have any takeaways that can help me and our listener to be able to be better at steering a conversation where we want it to go?
It's a challenge, right? And this is why the professionals get paid the big bucks. And I think, especially with guests that are long-winded. So I don't know about you, but having a more conversational interview style, I think is easier for the audience to listen to. It's more fun. It's more relaxed. But when somebody sort of grabs the mic and just won't stop talking, it's an awkward position as the interviewer because you feel at some point like you need to interrupt and say, okay, let me stop you there. And I think there are times when you actually have to do that to regain control of the interview because you don't want the guest to be the host, right? It's not their show. It's your show. You need to stay in control of what's going on. And so what I try to do in those situations when I can tell that somebody's just been droning on a little bit too long is I do interrupt them and I say, you made a great point there, and I'd love to sort of go into a little bit more detail, or that reminds me of something else, or I wonder if we could explore this a little bit further, but not in a way to say, stop, you're just talking too much, but, oh, that was a really good point. I'd like to comment on that, or before you go on, I'd like to say or get some feedback on that. But I think as the host, it's your show. You've got to stay in control. Now, one of the things that I do is I live stream my show. So it's going out on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook all at the same time. And so just like we're doing right now over a Zoom call, you can see somebody's body language. And sometimes you can do your audience won't be able to see it on the podcast, but you can sort of act like you want to speak and try to give that body language to the guest. It's like, okay, stop. I would like to talk now. And sometimes that helps as well. But for those podcasters who are simply doing audio, you don't have those visual cues to go off of.
I don't want to give up too much information on this, but I recently had a podcast episode where I didn't know where to interject or how to interject. So these three things that you mentioned, let me stop you there. You made a good point there. Before we go on, I want to get some feedback on that. These are great ideas, and I've written those three down. Let me stop you there. You made a great point there. And before we go on, I want to get some feedback on that because I did an interview. I'm like totally laughing right now. Just did an interview very recently with a woman, and I'm sure people can go and listen to it. You'll find it. I'm not bad mouthing anyone. The interesting thing was, all I said was, glad to have you on. And then I told the listener, this is what we're going to get out of the episode today. I said, we're going to get X, Y, and Z out of this episode today. I'm looking forward to diving into that. But before I do, is there anything, for example, I'll use you as an example, Eric. Is there anything in your bio that I missed that's important for today's topic? And it was like 12 minutes. And she was like, she didn't just say, I'm so sorry, this is the worst that it's coming out. But she didn't just say, well, yeah, as it relates to today's episode, they should probably know that I did X, Y, and Z. They should probably know that because that'll help. I have a lot of experience with that. And so probably dive in and get some takeaways. So maybe I shouldn't have even asked that question. Maybe there's a better way to do it, Eric, and I can ask you in a moment. It's just like I generally hide my video when you're talking because this is definitely going to go on Apple Podcasts with no video, but I also will repurpose the content too. But she could still see me. It's just that the listener couldn't. Or even the viewer, I should say, the viewer wouldn't be able to see me. So I'm sitting here hiding my video and I'm like, what do I do? Like, how do I interject? She's going off on so many tangents. Like after 12 minutes, all I said is there's something I missed on your bio. And like, she's trying to make the entire podcast, all the subjects that we were talking about, and it was completely off. And maybe I shouldn't say completely off base. It was on base. They were valuable points. but I wasn't even ready to go there. And it was like difficult. So let me stop you there. I'm going to have to practice. You made a good point there. And before we go on, I need to get some feedback on that. However, should I have not have even asked the question, what part of your bio did I miss that's important that we need to touch on it before we dive into the questions? Should I have not said that?
I'm so glad you brought up this point because this is something that I've dealt with as well. Some people can get very, very long-winded when you ask them to sort of give a bio or tell us a little bit about yourself. And, you know, 15 minutes later, they're still recounting their years in kindergarten. It can be very painful. And so one of the things that I'm starting to do and will definitely be doing it in my next season is that I record my introduction after the fact. So when I'm editing the podcast episode, I actually go in and record a little bit of an introduction and pull out the points that I want. And when I'm with the guest, I just dive into the interview. Not give us a little bit of your background and blah, blah, blah. We just dive into starting to ask questions. And then at the very end of the show, I always give people an opportunity to say, well, where can we find you on the web? Is there anything you specifically want to highlight? And sometimes they'll talk a little bit about their company or their book or podcast or whatever it may be, but that's at the end of the show. And so we've already kind of worked our way through it. But yeah, introductions can be rough. People can just take the rope and just run with it. And sometimes I go back. The videos are what the videos are. I don't do any editing with those, but the podcasts themselves, I edit those. And sometimes I've had to just take out big sections of that first question because just gone on and on about their past.
So there's been many times, and I also consult for other podcasters and support them. So when I do that, I'll listen to episodes. And one very common thread, and I need to know if you agree or disagree or if you have a better way to do this. One very common thread tends to be if you ask at the end, how does the listener get a hold of you? Or if you ask at the end, is there anything else you want to know? Sometimes those feel like they go way too long, in my opinion. And oftentimes I'll listen to one of my clients' podcast. And I will literally just call them and say, stop asking that question. Don't ask people how to get a hold of them. Just find out before the interview, what's the one way that they want to connect with the listener? And if they say the one way is my email, then all I'll do is, and by the way, Eric's email is in the show notes. It is eric@xyz.com. And you can find that in the show notes. Eric, thanks for coming. And then it's over, right? Because I've had so many times, and I'm sorry to go on a tangent and a monologue for a second, Eric. I know this is your interview.
No, this is good.
It's so interesting. So I will say something to the effect of, Eric Dickman, thank you for jumping on the show. I really appreciate all your time. You added this value, this value, this value. What is the single best way? And don't give me like 10 different ways like some of my other guests. What is the single best way the listener can find you and get a hold of you? Do you know what people still do? They're like, well, my Instagram handle is this. My Twitter handle is that. They can get this lead magnet if they go to this one place and do this one thing. Yep. They can definitely email me or they can find me at my website. My website is xyz.com. And also, I'll just give you my phone number. And I also want you to get this other lead magnet. So like, if you want this other thing, just go ahead and get this other lead magnet. And I'm like, I said the one thing. You said 12. And it's taken like 3 minutes. I just wanted you to give one place. And one of the things that I believe about it is you should always have one call to action, max of ever two calls to action on a single episode, like rate and review, subscribe, go to this place and download this thing, or connect with me, whatever it is. I really feel like the fewer, the better. So have you ever had any experiences with that, or what are your thoughts so far? Can you help me out so that I don't do this again?
No, I think that's another great point. So you've got these bumpers, right? The one on the front and the one on the end, and both of those can go awry and really break you out of kind of the format that you want. And so I love what you're saying. I think you can do the very same thing at the end, but you can thank the guest. You can put all the information that you want to in the show notes and give them that one opportunity, or say it yourself. Like you said, you know, Eric can be reached at this email address or this website, and just leave it at that. Thanks for being on the show. There's no requirement to be able just to give the guest an open mic to say whatever they want. Now, sometimes the lead magnet that you talk about, maybe they will have a really valuable offer for the audience and you want to give them a second to explain what that offer is. I don't know. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis. And again, sometimes listening to other episodes that they've done, you can get a little bit of a sense for where they're going to go. I've had guests who have done just the opposite too. You ask them, you know, where can I find you on the web? And they hardly give you any information. It's like, well, dude, you're on this show too. Don't you want some promotion from this? Don't you want people to go somewhere? So sometimes it's the other. But yeah, show notes is where most of that stuff should be. People aren't writing it down anyway.
So what about this? Is this good for like a pre-interview, Eric? Is there anything you want to promote today? Is there anything that you specifically want to cover today? Is there anything that you want to stay away from? Asking like those three questions, do you think that would be beneficial for a newer podcaster to make sure that they know where to take it? Or is that even too much?
No, I think that's great. Stay away from, I don't know, we probably, unless you're dealing with some very controversial topics, that's probably not needed as much. But yeah, I would say that talking about, is there something specifically you wanted me to ask today or get to? But there's another problem with that. We were talking about services like PodMatch or PodBooker, some of these. And within those services, a lot of times guests can put typical questions that they might want to be asked or topical areas that they might want to cover. And I think those are good to give you a general sense of what the guest may be willing to talk about. But I've been a guest on some shows and they've literally just read all of those questions. And to me, that's not really putting in the effort. If you do that, think about what would happen if everybody else did that. So I'm a guest on multiple shows and everybody's asking me the same five questions. That's boring. Nobody would want to sort of sit through that over and over again. I think you can use those and maybe take one or two and then expand upon them. Where else would you want to go with some of those questions? But I really do think that the best podcasts are the ones where if you've got a guest who's really a thought leader or somebody who's promoting something of real value, just to take a little bit of time to investigate their background, investigate what they say, and even jot down a few questions about what you might want to ask them. I'll tell you a little story. I was on a podcast and two of the nicest people, they were great, but they were clearly novices in the podcasting space. And the sound was terrible. There was terrible echo coming from their microphones. They were doing it from home. They had a smoke detector battery that needed to be replaced. So every couple of minutes, it was chirping in the background. I'm like, don't you hear that? That's just terrible. And they started asking me questions and it was good for a while. But then all of a sudden, the questions just became a slight variation of the question that they had just asked me. And after a while, I was like, I don't know how many different ways I can answer the same basic question. I was really starting to sweat after a while because they were nice. They were good questions, but they took it too far. They could have cut the interview about 15 minutes shorter because I had really already answered their questions. And that was just lack of preparation.
Very interesting. So some of the takeaways so far is number one, if you want to have a really good podcast where you're adding value, you got to be consistent. You got to add quality. Some people want free publicity and you definitely don't want to cheat your audience. So you talked about vetting your guest ahead of time. And to do that, one of the best ways is to listen for any other episodes that they've done. And in particular, you'll listen to a few of them to see if there is any variation, how they respond, if they're very scripted. And additionally, once they're on the episode and you go live, you said you go live in several different places at the time. Do you use StreamYard, by the way? Is that
I do. Yeah, I love the tool. Yeah.
Cool, cool. So as you're running this, it's pretty important when you're on that many platforms live that you don't want to have somebody who's self-promoting because like it's not easy to like go and cancel all of these and delete all of these. So if it gets too far out of control, then it can be tough. When it's just a recording and you're not going live, and especially not going live in a ton of places, you can just scrap the episode. You can cut out sure. whatever you want. You'd be like, okay, go ahead and tell us about that. I'm just going to delete it. Right, so it's all good. But when you're doing it live, you've got to really focus. And so after vetting the takeaways that I got, that I'm writing down and making sure that I'm putting in, is to make sure I can cut them off and feel comfortable with that. Because it hurts my feelings to cut somebody off. Yes. I don't want to do it. But it's like, let me stop you there with a smile, I'm sure. And right. or you made a good point there. Or, hey, before we go on, let me get some more feedback on that. And yeah. as we do that, it's like, man, I am cutting them off, but it's not awkward. It doesn't really hurt their feelings. And we've just got to maybe practice that. I wonder if do you practice that, or do you think that I feel like I should anyways, just literally practice?
Well, I think that sometimes, this is true in real life too. You go out to a bar or a club or something like that. Some people are just easy to talk to and some people aren't, right? Some people, everything is question, answer, question, answer. Other people, it's a conversation. You're going back and forth. There's an easy flow of it. And the hardest ones for me are the question and answer, because it feels a little stiff. And that's when, if the answer is very long and you feel like you have to interrupt, it feels a little bit more awkward. If we're just having an easy back and forth, there are going to be lots of moments where we step on each other and talk at the same time. That's fine. But it's the ones who just keep droning on, and you're just looking for that slight pause where you can interject to sort of stop the conversation. So I don't know if practice just comes with doing the episodes, I think, but it's so much based on the personality of the person. And that's why listening to other interviews that they've done is helpful. I will tell you, I used to do a lot of pre-interview calls where I would just get somebody on a Zoom and just talk for 15 minutes. What do you want to talk about? And I'm doing less and less of that because it's just so easy to go out and find other interviews that they've done, so you can get a pretty good sense of their style and if they'd be a good fit for your show or not. And a lot of times, when the camera is off, people are very easygoing. And then the camera is on, the audio is recording, and people's personalities change. They stiffen up. They get much more focused on their answers, and that conversational back and forth kind of disappears. I had a guest the other day who was a great guest, tons of value, but he was a little stiff over the course of the interview. And then we were done and we chatted for another 30 minutes and it was just as conversational and as easy flowing as could be, but it was after we stopped recording.
I've definitely felt that as well. I remember in the beginning of this interview, just for example, I said something like, the name of your company is Five Echelon. And your answer was pretty short. It was like, yeah, the name of the company is Five Echelon. And I think I was expecting you to be like, oh yeah, we do this and this and this and this is. But what was awesome is you answered the exact question. And I'm used to having other people just feel like this is liberty to take it wherever they want. So I thought that was pretty interesting and almost unique about you compared to some other guests that are very self-promotional when they come on to podcasts. So what other factors did I not ask with regard to your journey and what you've learned about bringing on guests and adding value can you give to the listener right now?
Well, I'd actually follow up on a point that you made just a few minutes ago where you talked about having to scrap a few episodes. And I've had the same experience. And it wasn't necessarily because the guest was bad, but it was because the guest truly wasn't prepared to do a podcast interview, an audio interview. I interviewed two ladies who had a marketing agency and they were located somewhere down in Mexico and their house was filled with pet birds. So in the background, all you heard were these birds screeching, and it was very annoying. You know, if you know what birds sound like, they're screechy, they're shrill, and to have that coming through your headphones was just very uncomfortable, very unpleasant. And at the end of that episode, I said, well, there was value here, but there's no way I can use it because the audio is just terrible. I interviewed a young man from, I think he was from Kenya, And he was a really great guy too. A lot of interesting things that he had to say, but his connection was so poor. It was constantly breaking up and the audio quality was just terrible. And so I think you have to respect your audience as well as your guest. And to say, if this doesn't meet my standards, if this is going to be annoying to listen to, then unfortunately I've got to scrap it. And you can either say, well, was the guest worth redoing it? Or if we redo it, is it going to be basically the same thing? Or is it something that we just say, no, or set that one aside? Interestingly enough, some of these guests that performed poorly in that way, and I think I've scrapped three in my entire recording career, but not one of them ever followed up with me and said, oh, by the way, are you publishing that episode? I think they knew that there was very little value in what they did.
Very interesting. So with your podcast, Virtual CMO, remind me, you started that right after COVID kind of came around?
Right before. I started February of last year, and then COVID hit. And so the timing was great to start a podcast because we're all sitting at home so much. So it was great from that standpoint, but it's been fun to be on that journey.
All right. With Virtual CMO, what is the purpose behind it? Like, who do you serve and how do you serve them? And how does the podcast kind of correlate with that business, or does it?
Yeah. So thanks for asking that. What I do as a virtual CMO is I help small and mid-sized companies really create strategic marketing plans for their business and then help them get it executed. And so for a lot of companies, maybe they have somebody like a VP of sales and marketing, but they don't have anybody that's dedicated to marketing. So most of the focus is just on selling. It's not on building that pipeline of leads and getting that marketing executed. And so I come in and help these companies create that plan and then work with freelancers and agencies and other people to get the plan executed. And so the purpose of the Virtual CMO podcast is really to share some of the insights that I have certainly learned along the way working with all these businesses. Other thought leaders in the marketing space can share to these businesses, because maybe somebody's not interested in engaging with me or my business, but they can take some of the insights, some of the value that we've learned along the way, or that some of these guests are sharing, and apply it to their own marketing programs to increase their successfulness. And so I really try to bring on guests that are going to, as you said early on, they're going to provide some actionable tips, some actionable things, whether you do business with them, you do business with me, or you're just trying to take away some insights. There's something hopefully for everybody on that show. And it's been great in terms of the networking, the connections that I've made along the way. I love getting feedback from people who have listened to the show. And it's been great for the business too. It's just been a win-win all the way around.
When you have guests on your show, is it more of people that have used a service like a virtual CMO? Is it somebody that has partnered with you or partnered with others? And they're coming from the side of what it's like to hire a virtual CMO? Or is it more the guests that you have on your show are other virtual CMOs talking about what they do and how they do it and how they serve? Or is it a third option that I didn't select?
Yeah. So I would like in the future to have more people on the show who have engaged with a virtual CMO, a fractional executive, and talked a little bit about that experience. Many times companies are a little shy about talking about what they've done internally. And so as much as I like to do that, it's not as easy to get people to do that as you'd think. But usually the guests that I bring on my show are thought leaders, people who are writing books or delivering content specifically in the marketing space for small and mid-sized businesses, technology providers, people who are providing marketing automation software or other software in the MarTech space, agencies, people who are serving other businesses, creating content, doing SEO, building websites, all of that kind of stuff, or other freelancers who just have gone on an entrepreneurial and maybe they do something that's very niche within the space. So it's really a broad spectrum, but it's all people who are in one way or another serving businesses, either through their thought leadership or through the services that they provide.
Okay. Can you give me like an example of one of the thought leaders that came on and added value, and like what kind of value they added specifically? Maybe even if you knew an episode number or something. I know you're on the spot, so I'm not trying to do that to you or make you feel uncomfortable, but I'm curious, like, as if we're listening to this podcast right now and we're kind of getting to know you, and we can understand, okay, that's why I should listen to that podcast. That's what I'll get. If I move off of Adam's podcast today and go straight into Eric's podcast, this is the reason that I'm doing it.
Yeah. So I've had a lot of great guests. I'll give you an example of one who is in my current season. He's a guy by the name of Michael Solomon. He's a professor of marketing, and he has literally written the textbook that they use in a lot of business schools to help teach people about marketing. And he really dove into this whole idea of creating a brand story and what it means to really represent your brand in a way that people can relate to. So often companies think about the products and services that they offer, but that's just part of the equation, right? You have to wrap all that up into, what does your brand mean? What does it stand for? Why would people want to do business with you as opposed to somebody else? And there's a lot that's involved in that. But he was a fascinating guest. He's had years of experience. And like I said, he was an author of this textbook, and he just wrote a new book called The New Chameleons, which is talking about how people don't necessarily like to be categorized as millennials or Gen Z or whatever they may be, that everybody likes to be unique in their own special way. So it's a very interesting book as well. But those are the kind of people that I love to have on the show.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, I really do appreciate you jumping on and teaching me and others how to just be a better interviewer, how to get the right guests, how to make sure you're adding value. I really appreciate it. You added a ton of value to us as well. And so you are the perfect guest. And all I'll say is, what is the one way, the one, not the 10, not the 3, what's the best way for the listener to find you and get a hold of you?
The best way is just to check out my company website, which is 5echelon.com.
5echelon.com is in the show notes right now. I didn't even know how to spell echelon. I'm glad that you're around, because now I see it spelled. But it's in the show notes, so if you're like me and you didn't already know how to spell it, it's perfect. Just scroll down. You can click 5echelon.com. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate you jumping on.
Adam, thanks for having me on the show today. It's been a pleasure.
That's a wrap. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now, and feel free to schedule a call with me, and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.